W is for...
Whoa, 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 whoa.
F is for...
Fuck Freddy.
O is for...
Oh, Travis.
D is for...
Dippin' Dots.
Get ready. W, F, O, D. Left speaker.
Check.
Right speaker. Check. Mic. Check. Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Sir, why did you buy a new Ford wagon?
Listen, if you had as many kids as I do, you'd be in a Ford wagon too.
Kids are pretty tough on a car, huh?
Tough? They're murder. Crayons, candy, fooling, and fussing. Oh, boy. But I'll tell you, my new Ford stands up to them. Loads of room, foam padding in every seat, a stereo to calm them down, rear seats that face each other, and this great new magic door gate. Lowers like a regular tailgate. Swings open like a door, so the kids can pile right in.
Hey, you do have a lot of children.
Yeah, didn't realize I had that many.
Everyone, it's me, Mike. I'm here, and my co-host Travis Hulse, the popcorn bitch, is here too. Hi, Travis.
I'm also here. Hello to you.
Phone number to contact the show: 636-487 hand or WFOD show on Skype. Oh boy, Travis, do we have a show tonight?
Oh, I think everybody's favorite sports talk radio show is really going to be off the hook tonight.
Oh, that Tom Brady, man.
Oof. Am I right?
He throws the balls.
You see how they traded that guy to that team for some picks?
Woohoo! Yeah, they made that trade.
Oh, man. And, well, you know, the nation is wondering if they made the right choice.
See, Travis, but what they did is they got their future, you know, because they got those picks.
They did get those picks.
That's... But, man, are they just calling it in for this season? The season hasn't even started, Travis.
I know, and people are already discounting them just because of those picks they did.
That trade when they got rid of that guy.
Oh, man, that guy was integral to their offense or their defense.
Or was he? Do you think they know something we don't know, Travis?
Oh, they might. They might know something. They might have a puzzle piece to throw in that open slot there. There's probably coaches. They've been looking at their rookies. They probably know what they're doing. But, man, from the outside, it doesn't look good.
Maybe, just maybe, that fella, he hates the flag.
Oh, man.
You think about that, Travis?
I feel like there's been
maybe
a lot
they had
of that
a
lately.
Team meeting.
A lot of people hate the flags.
Hey, which one of you guys hate the flag? And he's the only one that raised his hand, so they fucking traded him for some picks.
We're not going to have scouting. Anybody on our team that doesn't like this flag.
They're going to do some scouting, and they're going to find some good old boys who don't hate flags, is what they're going
to
do.
Oh, you know where they could go? They could just go to Twitter or Facebook, and there's probably... hundreds of thousands of people that love the flag, that they want to be in the NFL.
Fucking
they
wanna, love
they
it.
Love the flag.
Travis, it's important to love the flag.
Ooh, yes, it is.
Lots of flag news this week, Travis. I'm telling you, we love this goddamn flag.
We can't get enough of it, from my perspective. I think it's just week after week about this flag.
The flag, you'd think that these people... They were just constantly waving the flag. They get up in the morning and they take it for a stroll around the neighborhood and they display it to everybody. They're like, hey, fuckers know where you live? Look!
You don't like this. You see what I'm holding? You don't like this. Why don't you just
fuck
move
out of
the
here.
Fuck out? You don't belong here.
So this Neil Armstrong movie, Travis. They're putting out this goddamn Neil Armstrong movie, right?
Ryan Gaz,
he's Canadian, but he's gonna play an American because what's the fucking difference, right?
Where I can't believe there's not been outrage all over social media about a Canadian playing an American in a movie.
Well, it's like, starting, Travis. It's starting.
You're telling me you can't find an American to play an American?
And this is what they said, Travis. By the way, Mel Gibson was he's an Australian fella, and he was the Patriot.
Nah, he's American.
Everybody plays Americans but Americans.
The entire cast of The Walking Dead is from someplace other than America.
We don't really have many Americans, do we? They all come from all over the goddamn place to take our jobs.
They're taking our jobs. All Hollywood. They infiltrated Hollywood and they take our jobs.
Fucking Australians coming over here and the guy from The Cosby Show's got to get a job at fucking Trader Joe's.
Can you imagine that? He's got to bag groceries while this Charlie Hunnam bullshit. He's all playing Sir
Lancelot.
Fucking
Charlie Hunnam!
Come on.
See, what I'm saying, Travis. This Neil Armstrong movie is coming out. And they said something to the guy. And the guy, he wasn't thinking it was going to be a whole goddamn thing. He just said, you know, the first man walking on the moon, like, before you get into all this patriotism shit, which, okay, patriotism, we were first. Rah, rah, go America, right? It was a major human achievement for the first man to walk on the moon. He wasn't the first American to walk on the moon. He was the first fucking guy up there.
Mm-hmm. Unless you want to believe what Alex Jones is saying, it was the very first false flag operation.
Oh, it was fabricated.
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick directed it in the basement of some Hollywood studio.
They got some guy to walk around on some goddamn styrofoam and just be like, oh, I did it. And that's why Buzz Aldrin gets all defensive and punches people in the face when they say he didn't really go.
Right.
It's all an act. It's bullshit.
Yep.
He's a patriot, that Buzz Aldrin.
That's right.
But what he said, okay, the flag is in the movie. The flag's in the movie a lot.
I was paging through an Entertainment Weekly today, and they had one still from the movie, and it was Ryan Gosling and some other dude sitting at a desk in front of a giant American flag.
They wear American flags, but the flag on the moon is in the movie a lot. They said throughout the goddamn movie, it's prominently shown a whole fuckload of times. But we didn't make a huge deal about them going and getting the flag on the pole and jamming it into the ground on Mars or on the moon. We didn't make it like a big, huge fucking thing. That's what they said. Like when the guy put the flag in the moon, like, cool, go America and all that. We didn't really focus on that.
Yeah, pretty much just, hey, guys walking on the moon, he grabbed whatever's closest and shoved it into the ground.
Yeah, hey, guys walking on the moon, it is amazing. And how'd we get there? That's the movie. And everybody's losing their goddamn minds, Travis, because of this fucking flag.
They haven't even seen the movie yet.
Oh, right. The movie isn't out yet. Movie doesn't come out for like a month.
They heard that they didn't make a big deal about the flag. And now people are freaking out.
And they're like, you omitted the flag? I'm like, no, it's not what I said. I didn't say that at all. What are you talking about? I
feel like it's a real mistake to go back and add all of these flags to this motion picture, right? Only because a lot of money comes from foreign sales now, foreign ticket sales. If you really don't want to shove America down the Chinese's throat.
Right. They don't even call Captain America Captain America. They just call him, like, the first Avenger, I think. Yeah. Because nobody wants to go see some American shit, and those Chinese, they buy a lot of movie tickets, Travis.
Right.
You can show them American flags. They're not going to lose their mind if you show them an American flag. But you don't got to make a whole fucking thing about it. I mean, it's
how
there.
Great we are. We're better than you. America. Better. Hey, we went on fucking moon first, man.
Why do you think Vin Diesel's putting Chinese guys in all his movies?
He wants that sweet, sweet foreign currency.
Because those goddamn Chinese people, they go see a lot of fucking movies, Travis.
They love it.
They love it.
They love it. Yep.
And this one's about the moon. Like, they can see the moon from their house.
Hey, the moon is a universal object, right? Like, everybody can see the moon. Everybody's got some vested interest in that moon.
See, the Colin Kaepernick guy, he keeps coming up Can't get rid of Colin Kaepernick. Nike made a ad campaign that has Colin Kaepernick in it. And so these fucking fools, Travis. Who? What was that guy? Was that the guy from Big and Rich?
Yeah. The fucking like, Big and Rich.
Who the fuck's heard from Big and Rich?
As I say, it's like they're like a country one hit wonder that's been trying to produce the same song for like 15, 20 years.
Save
to try to be
horse,
relevant
ride
again.
A cowboy.
Yeah. Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Is that their song?
Yep.
And do they have different variations of Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy?
I would almost be 100% positive that they've probably actually recorded and put to wax probably 5 to 10 versions of that song.
And these fucking guys are cutting the swooshes off their socks.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Big and Rich, buddy, you already bought those socks.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, you own them. You have them in your house. Like, Nike doesn't care what you do with them after you buy them.
Yeah, actually, you already purchased them. Why don't you just continue to wear them?
Nike doesn't even really care about you buying them. Like, they want stores, they want Kohl's to buy the socks.
Right.
And so, like, by the time they get to you, you could go shoplift them from Kohl's, and that wouldn't even matter.
Nike doesn't give a shit. They already sold their bulk order.
You set them on fire. What does Nike give a fuck? You still need socks? You fucking idiot. Like, if you wear socks, nobody can even tell what kind of socks you have. You know, and, like, the swoosh is so ingrained. I don't even think that, like, you wearing it is particularly good advertising for them. It would be like you walking around drinking a gallon of milk. I don't think anybody's going to see the milk and say, ooh, he looks to really be enjoying that Prairie Farms milk. I should switch brands. I mean, you need a pair of shoes. You're going to go buy one of, like, three kinds of shoes.
Well, that's the thing. And all of those brands that get diluted at some point anyway, you know, I mean, like when Under Armour first became like a huge thing, when you saw somebody wearing Under Armour, you were like, oh, Under Armour. But now it's so prevalent that if you see somebody in Under Armour, they might as well be wearing a Hanes shirt because nobody gives a shit.
In the chat, Michelle is saying that my voice is raising to dog whistle level.
Uh-oh.
I'm getting heated, Travis.
Getting heated.
And when I get heated, I start getting up there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
I need to get under control, Travis. I made a song for the Nike people.
Let's hear it.
You want to hear my song?
I want to hear your song.
It's pretty good. I think you're really going to like it.
I'm sure I will.
Nike's already got your money. Don't cut your swooshes off. Nike's already got your money. You're just ruining your stuff. You paid for it already. Now your shoes are fucking gone. Nike has your money. Nike already got your. Nike already got your. Nike already got your money. Travis, I'm only mildly embarrassed.
Nike's already got
this
your money. This is a hot jam for our times, man.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely.
The song's very repetitive. Yeah, you...
Have you turned on the top 40 radio lately?
Yeah.
Every goddamn song that's on the radio, they just repeat like 2-3 lines over and over and over again.
So the people that are boycotting Nike, they'll forget about it.
I guarantee you that they rebought their Keurig coffee makers.
The people that are happy for Nike, are they going to go buy more Nike? Probably not. They'll say they will.
They won't.
It doesn't matter. All of this doesn't matter, guys.
You get a handful of dickheads posting stuff on social media that gets a bunch of buzz and people are like, oh, look at these fucking stupids. They're like, I'm going to buy more Nike now. And nobody does anything. And like I said, all those people that smashed their Keurigs, bought a new Keurig because they love the fucking K-Cup. Everybody who boycotted Chick-fil-A now goes to Chick-fil-A because they can't get enough of that goddamn sandwich.
I want one example where one of these things mattered.
Fox News, of course, because I have plenty of people in my Facebook that like to post Fox News shit. Recently, they had posted an article from Fox News that says Dick's Sporting Goods says lost a lot of profit this last couple of quarters. And then they spun it to be like, oh, it's because of the gun sales, because they stopped carrying quote-unquote assault rifles. Yeah. Now they lost a bunch of money.
They stopped selling a large portion of what they used to sell a lot of.
Yeah. I wonder why your profits are down.
Yeah, that'll do it. Like, you know how you used to sell, like, expensive items that people bought a lot of, and you're not selling those anymore? Yeah, that'll affect your bottom line.
Sure will. But I got to tell you, it's got nothing to do with all the people who said, ah, boycott dicks.
Yeah.
Ain't going to dicks anymore. Yeah, sell a fucking gun.
Right, because you're a guy who goes and buys guns, and they don't sell them anymore.
Right.
And you don't need basketballs, so you're not going there.
It's not necessarily a boycott as so much as they don't have the thing that you like to buy.
Like, I don't think Big and Rich is going and buying a bunch of fucking Air Max.
You don't think that they're all up on their classic Air Jordan kicks? Like, you know, they, like, every time Nike releases a new Air Jordan, Big and Rich is out there fucking first in line.
Yeah, it's getting the name out there. And it's all probably fine.
Listen, this reminds me, there's a short-lived, Dana Carvey had a show. It was a short-lived show, the Dana Carvey Show. It had an amazing team of writers before they got super huge, like Colbert and Carell and Odenkirk was on there, and even old masturbator Louis C.K. But one of my favorite skits from this show, it was only one I really remember, truthfully. It was Dana Carvey and his buddy. They'd pull up to the drive-thru and they'd order food. And they'd say, oh, it's $17.95, pull up to the first window. So they'd pull up to the first window, they'd hand them the $20, and they'd drive off without getting their food, and they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, before they could give them the food. And then
Right. So this whole boycotting Nike thing, when you have already purchased the thing, and now you're going to burn your shoes.
Yeah, Nike's already got your money.
A lot of that Dana Carvey skit.
Travis, did I ever tell you about the time when the Da Vinci Code came out, and I was in line behind a woman at Sam's Club who was buying a flatbed full of copies of the Da Vinci Code
no so
her and her church service could burn them all. I asked her, I said why are you buying so many copies of the same book? She said, me and my church service, we're gonna burn them because it's blasphemous.
It's probably a Baptist church, I would imagine.
And I said, they probably got another pallet of them back in the back. They'll just bring more out. And I mean, like,
she didn't get it.
No. Well, maybe it makes you feel better. You're getting your use out of it. You know, you're, I guess what you do with it. I mean, you know, if you sell a product, Travis, let's say you sell like a really good pen.
Sure.
And you find out that the majority of the people that are purchasing your pen are jamming them up their ass because, like, it does a really good job going up your ass.
So you put it up there and then you click, click.
I mean, they're buying the pens, right? So, I mean, what they do with them, how they enjoy them, I guess, is, you know, like when you put a song out there and maybe people get something different from the song than what you intended. I mean, as long as they're enjoying it, then fine, right?
Yeah, what's the difference? I know there's a lot of bands that won't put they won't put lyrics in their liner notes because they don't give a shit what, you know, they intended. It was all, hey, whatever you take from this, we're happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you get from this, if it makes you happy, then good. You know Danny Boyle, the 28 Days Later guy?
Yeah, a guy that was scheduled to direct the next Bond flick but said peace out.
He got over it, I guess.
Yeah.
He made a movie about a guy who wakes up and realizes that he's the only one who knows about the Beatles.
What?
I don't know, like something happened and everyone in the world no longer knows about the Beatles.
So now he can pretend that he's creating this music, maybe?
So he can just make all the Beatles songs now?
Right. And then that reminds me a lot of that Ricky Gervais flick, The Invention of Lying.
What happens in that one? I never saw that one, Travis. It looks silly to me.
People are not able to lie, which means that they also cannot be creative and tell stories. So all of their movies are like things that actually happen, but not portrayed by anybody because they don't believe in actors because that's lying. So everything in that movie is actual factual things that happened.
So every movie is like a documentary about a thing that happened?
Right, but not even like the things happening. It's just like some dude reading a book telling you about the things that happened. That's like every movie that's made. So, like, nobody can lie. Everybody tells the truth. And then all of a sudden, and I can't recall how it happened, but Ricky Gervais was able. Oh, his mom was dying. So his mom was dying and on her deathbed. And he created a place because she's like, I'm just going to die. I'm going to be gone. He's like, well, there's this place and it's all full of light. And when you die, you go there and it makes you feel warm and fuzzy. And all your friends that died are there. And he, like, all of a sudden is lying and creating religion, essentially. And now he's the only man on earth that can lie. So he just, like, starts lying.
And it gets a lot of stuff done, right?
Yeah. And all of a sudden he's like this weird messiah guy, you know, because he's like making up all these stories. So a lot of shit gets done. Things change for the better. Movies start to get good until, you know, he finds out that, or the gal he's in love with finds out that he somehow was not able to tell the truth.
It's all predicated on tricking people into thinking that you're something that you're not.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that every day for everybody?
We're all trying to align ourselves in the club. We all want to be important in some way, and we need to be part of something that excludes other people that we don't think deserve to be in the club with us.
That you just described this Comics Gate fiasco that's happening right now almost to a T.
Explain this one, Drew, because I tried to follow it. I can't follow them all, Travis. There's too many.
Yeah, well, there's this there's actually a Jim Jefferies show bit on it. They have this guy who created this YouTube account, Diversity in Comics. This was at a time when Thor was a gal, Iron Man was a gal. They had, you know, gender swapped all these characters. They made, you know, Sam Wilson Captain America. So they were
Wilson Hawkeye or no, not Hawkeye, the Falcon?
Falcon. Yep. He's Falcon. But they also had a female Hawkeye, too. So it was all editorial things that all kind of came up at once. If you hear the creators and the editorial talk about it, it was by happenstance, you know, that all these people wanted to tell these stories at the same time. And there's this weird, gross sect of like mid 30-year-old dudes that got real pissed that they were showing people of color and females, you know, in their comic book stories.
Is it that they didn't want them in the comics at all, or they were pissed off that they just blatantly made Thor a black lady?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess it depends on your viewpoint, right? So it's all served a purpose in the story. And I think that from the outside looking in, they probably said, oh, they're doing this to shove diversity down our throats, which I think at some point,
a little bit. Yeah,
maybe a little bit. You know what I mean? I mean, there's probably a little bit of truth to that where they're like, hey, there's not enough representation. Let's put these characters in here. What they could have did, and I guess which is not always effective, is create new characters. And that's what I think these people started off by saying. But once this thing became a movement, once this Diversity in Comics guy started getting a following, he started to get a little bit more vile. And he started to like attack creators and things on social media, and he'd make these videos. So then anytime you have like these weird movements being created, you have like the worst kind of possible people.
And they kind of bastardize what your original vision may have been.
Yeah, but at the same time,
it's like it's like a Jody reply. You know, it just makes it a little shittier every time. You know what I'm saying?
But you think about it, too, is like, I'm sure the guy making the videos all of a sudden started seeing how popular this was getting with a bunch of people, no matter how misogynistic or racist or whatever transphobic these people were. He started to see that this was getting all this attention from these people. And he's like, shit, I got to double down. I need more of these people. All of a sudden, these fucking videos are getting like 50,000 views and shit.
Yes, come be part of my shitty club.
But the problem with this is anytime you create these assholes, right? Anytime you create a faction of these assholes, then you have the opposite. And it's got to be the polar opposite of people saying all these Comics Gate bastards, they're all fucking racist, misogynistic, whatever, even though a couple of, you know, a handful of them might not have been. So if you align yourselves in any way, you are also a pile of shit.
Right, because you're part of the shitty club.
Right. So recently, Peter Cimetti, who is the publisher of Alterna Comics, a very small indie comic label who tries to produce like all ages comics and low price point, like $1.50 compared to the $2.99. He's always been in the business of like saying thank you to people anytime they contact him on Twitter and say, hey, I just bought you know, this alternate comics. I bought three alternate comics today. They're really good. And he's always like, hey, thanks a lot for your support. Just a really pleasant, nice dude.
Yeah, you've retweeted him before, and I started following him just because he seemed like a cool guy who had nice things to say. I was like, oh,
yeah,
this guy doesn't seem like garbage at all.
Let's follow him. Well, and that's the thing, is he's always positive. He's always just trying to, you know, push new creators to the forefront. He's producing low price comics for everyone, all ages comics. And he's just like loves comic books. He's just like a good dude. And because he's always been retweeting these people and saying, hey, thanks a lot for your support. Well, he made the mistake this last week of saying thank you to your support for somebody who bought like six of these Alterna comics. That these weird other, you know, the other side of the coin said, ah, that guy's a fucking Comics Gate guy. What are you, a Comics Gate guy? Because he said thank you to him for buying your books.
Oh, so he thanked the wrong person.
He thanked the wrong person. So he has been through a bunch of shit. He's had creators pull off his label. They don't want their comics being published by him anymore because of all this shit. And my question is with this is like, have we come to the point where you can't even say thank you to somebody for their support anymore? Do you have to like go through their Twitter feed and like do a Google search to make sure they're not part of some weird faction you may not even be aware of before you say thank you?
Right. Well, I mean, it's like every time something if Trump retweets somebody, like they go through that person's timeline and find that. They tweeted something racist in 2012 or something, and they're like,
oh, it's the end of their life.
Trump retweeted a racist. He must also be racist.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he said shitty things on his own. You don't need, you know, to he's not going to scrub somebody's timeline to see a retweet. I retweet people all the time who might say shitty things. I don't know what else they've said.
Well, that's the thing. I've had people like when that DC Universe was getting announced and I was excited about it and I was kind of live tweeting a couple of the things. And I had some rando, he doesn't follow me. I don't follow him. Some rando is like, hey, when is this, when is that service going to, you know, when is that service going to be launched or whatever? And I told him, I'm like, hey, it's launched here and you can buy it from here. And he, you know, replied to me again and whatever. And, you know, just out of shits and giggles, I did click on him then and I scrolled down and it's like, all this guy's Twitter feed does is like talk to porn stars that won't talk to him.
Hey, beautiful. Follow me back.
But you know, like I usually don't do that. I usually just like, hey, somebody asks me a question that I know the answer to, I'm like, hey, this is the thing. Or if somebody says, hey, liked your show, I'm like, hey, thanks a lot, I appreciate you listening, you know. But
no, you should go back through and make sure that they're an acceptable listener, Travis. We only want the good ones.
Yeah, we can't have anybody involved in any bullshit.
Yeah, if you're involved in some bullshit, you stop listening right now. We don't want you.
We don't want you. Yeah, if you support it, get out of here.
Liquid in the chat says he treated the wrong person as human, the worst crime imaginable.
And it really is nowadays. You can't, if you try to talk to somebody or treat somebody with like common courtesy of a human being, you can't do it anymore.
What's
like,
that guy, the guy that's the director that does stuff with his brother, and he just made that documentary about the weird cult people. He was on the League. I can't think of his name.
Oh, Duplass.
Yeah, one of the Duplass brothers. He tweeted something out about Ben Shapiro, the right wing talk show host guy.
Right.
And he just said, you know, hey, like I met this guy and he was really nice and it was kind of cool to just have a conversation with him, you know, from the other side. And so like if you're just looking for a different perspective on things, check this guy out. That's what he tweeted. And everybody went fucking crazy on him. And he was forced to apologize for tweeting that, Travis.
Oh, sorry for saying somebody was a good guy after I met them.
Sorry for tweeting out that I met someone and they were friendly. is the gist of it, Travis. It's crazy.
It's so gross. You know, there used to be a time, even in my lifetime, where you could disagree with people politically, and you weren't automatically a piece of shit. You know, you could have a civilized conversation with somebody without being maligned as a racist or
everyone is so afraid that other people will find out that you don't agree with everything they say.
Right.
And you'll get kicked out of the club, Travis.
Yep. And they'll find something on you and they'll peg you as something that you're not, even though like history has shown you're a really good person.
Don't you dare have a dissenting thought. You agree with all of us or else.
Just becomes this stupid, pointless war that makes no sense, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, I mean, there are, you know, with the Comicsgate thing, there are creators speaking out against it because there are people who have been getting a bunch of harassment, you know, from some of these people. But you can't say that some of the ideals that they believe in are wrong. And you can't say that because they kind of feel like, hey, man, comics should be for everybody or whatever their point is, that they're automatically a horrible human being.
But like, I mean, who disagrees with that? Who is the person that says comics shouldn't be for everyone?
Right.
It's so crazy to think that that's a radical thought.
Right. Well, and I'm completely against, anytime you start labeling something as a movement, it becomes something that it wasn't. And I do agree that anytime you look up this Comicsgate thing, and if you do follow a lot of it, there is a lot of hatred and a lot of shittiness that's built into it. But all that does is when you have this group of people that, you know, kind of is horrible, all of a sudden the people that are rebelling against that become the horrible people as well. So now we just have two horrible sides in this bitter match of fucking wits only on the internet. That are just constantly just being shitty. Everybody's being shitty.
Travis, you know, like for the whole flag thing, mm-hmm. I wore like a outfit for tonight, so that Drunk would come downstairs and comment on it and be like, "Oh, you look like a dork." I'm drinking a Bud Light. I have a American flag cowboy hat on, and I'm shirtless, Travis. And I did all of this just so that I would get a reaction out of Drunk. And I think I just remembered that Drunk said he wasn't going to be here this week. So I'm wearing this get up for nothing. I drank a Bud Light, wearing an American flag cowboy hat, and I'm doing it for no reason. I'm a silly goose, Travis.
Well, you're doing it for your lady. She's probably into it, right?
She's not.
She's like, "Why are you wearing that shit?" Oh, it's for Drunk.
She thinks I look like a fool. So we're gonna go to break, Travis. I'm gonna put a shirt on,
change clothes,
collect myself, and I'm gonna think about all the mistakes I've made. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds great. Let's all contemplate our mistakes during the break.
Gonna reflect on some things.
Mm-hmm.
If they're allowed to run free, could this be you? Join the fight to boycott Nabisco at WFODix.com.
WFOD!
The Planet Man!
At this moment, the Planet Man and the crew of the Earth's first space expedition have just gotten out of the reach of some unidentified bogey spaceship.
There, I think we lost them bozos.
What's that? Are there meteors in our path?
Are they meteors? No, stupid. It's those pissed off Martians trying to kill us.
Can we fight them?
I can. I'm Planet Man. You can't do shit. This ought to be good.
You are on the province of Mars. Cut your drive. We're coming aboard.
Yeah, this is nice.
Surrender in the name of Marston, ruler of
we
Mars.
We surrender. What do you want with us?
Marston will tell you himself, but I'm afraid you're not going to like it. All right, get ahead of me and no tricks. My needle ray is set at full charge, and I just love to use it.
Tune in again for more transcribed thrills and adventures. Rocket millions of light years into space with the Planet Man.
Planet Man.
dog eat dog. Strangelabel.com.
Grab him by the pussy. 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 She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I moved in her like a bitch.
It was a day like any other.
You know, honey, maybe this trip to Australia would be good for us. Get away from it all. Just you, me, and the dogs.
The government has started the clock. Mr. Depp has 48 hours to comply or his dogs will be euthanized.
Boo! Pistol! Get in the car, Muffins! They're coming!
One man must face an entire regime who only want one thing. To kill his dogs. Dan Furnicase is the Prime Minister.
Bring me the heads of those fucking dogs.
Dan Furnicase is Johnny Depp.
Boo, pistol, swing to safety in my voluminous scarves.
Dan Furnicase is the dogs. In Doggone.
The words pour from his mouth without filter.
So does she suck your dick?
Once again.
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
In the Dude Bro series, Travis.
Next in a long line.
It's this thing I'm doing lately, you know?
I like it.
The Dude Bro tracks. Who will it be next week? Tune in to find out. It's a tease, is what that is.
Mm-hmm, sure is. Whet their appetite.
Did you watch any funeral coverage this past weekend, Travis? There's a lot of it. There's a lot of funeral coverage.
No, I don't have live TV, so I stayed away from it. And
I'm sure there were streams.
Oh, I'm sure there were streams, but I mean...
Funeral streams?
All right, RIP, but I don't need to watch that.
I'll tell you what, that Aretha Franklin, Travis, she set the bar, man. I have never seen multiple costume changes in a funeral. It's pretty impressive. Not only did she change outfits 3 times, Travis, she changed coffins 3 times.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's a sight to behold. All the stars came out to sing tributes of the songs that she covered. On Monday, she wore a red suit and red shoes and was in a gold casket. And then on Tuesday, they took the day off. I don't know why. But then Wednesday, she came out in a powder blue suit and powder blue shoes and a copper casket. And then on Thursday, she had a rose gold dress. Rose gold is kind of a fad now, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, I think it is.
It's like a thing that everybody's into for some reason. Like belly button rings, you know, but they come and go. They come and go. You know, belly button rings, they were the biggest thing there for a while, Travis. I like the belly button rings. It was a good look.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, obviously, you know, and not to, I always want to be body positive, but as long as, you know, they should be wearing a belly button ring. It's a good look.
Rose gold. That's what the people like now. She had a rose gold dress. I think that might be the last one. That might be the one that she actually got buried in. They probably
This has
got to
be like the first time that we've had these funerals last multiple days, right? Like John McCain went on for days. Aretha Franklin went on for days. Didn't like with Michael Jackson, didn't they just like have here's a service.
Didn't they have a service in like a football stadium, though?
Well, it was they had like a fan service, right? So it was like anybody could come to pay their respects,
but
and then they had like a family
clothes.
Service.
Did his dead body put on different clothes as the day went on? That's what
I would assume not, right? Like, why would you think to do that?
It's pretty cool. It sets the bar. I don't know how you're going to top that one. Like a 3-day service, 3 different caskets. Now, what do you do with the 2 caskets that weren't the last casket? Do they go to like Planet Hollywood? Can they display like her Monday casket somewhere?
You probably donate them to a shelter.
A solid gold casket that Aretha Franklin was buried in?
Like, here you go. Give this to, Stinky Joe or whatever.
Like, how many people would you have to put in that casket? It'd have to be more than one.
Oh, yeah. You just pile them in there.
Yeah. Travis, I saw an interesting story and, I wanted to share it with you, and it leads me to a greater point.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the band Metallica, Travis? You heard of the band Metallica, a little underground band?
Yeah. I think they were popular in like the early to mid 90s.
The entire 80s, the entire 90s.
And also still today.
Yeah, and still on. You probably heard of them anyway.
I've heard of them. Enter the Sandman.
Enter the Sandman. Yeah, that's one of their big hits.
Yep.
They've ventured into the whiskey making business, Travis.
Oh, everybody's got to have their own line of spirits nowadays. Yeah. What is their whiskey called?
Blackened is the name of their whiskey. It's one of their songs on one of their early albums is called Blackened, and the whiskey is named after their song. But see, it's also referencing a process that they use. You see, this isn't just any whiskey, Travis. This whiskey, while it is aged, also listens to Metallica's music. They play Metallica's music in the barrels so that the whiskey can listen to it. Travis, I know this sounds like a bit. It's not. You see,
that's one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard.
You see, Travis, when applied at just the right frequency, sound waves produce vibrations causing the whiskey to seep deeper into the wood of the barrels. Or like, you know, you could just like shake it a little bit, right?
Right.
You just shake it a little bit. Please.
What do they got? They got a Sony like CD Discman or whatever. They like put the headphones on the barrel to turn it up real loud.
Well, this is Travis. If you buy a bottle of blackened whiskey, they give you a playlist to go along with the whiskey. So like you could listen to the same music that your whiskey listened to.
So what do they play it like one Metallica album in its fermentation stage, like while it's sitting there? Or do they consistently play it's the same album over and over again?
No, it's a curated playlist of good songs to age whiskey to.
And so Metallica didn't come up with this playlist, right? It had to be the guys that are making the booze.
Yeah. I imagine that the guys making the booze, they probably tried out a bunch of different songs to see like which ones made the best whiskey. Right?
Ooh. Ride the Lightning whiskey is way better than Reloaded whiskey.
See, now, with the music of Metallica, they re-engineered a subwoofer that amplified low hertz sound waves, a method that claims to change the shape of the whiskey. I mean, the whiskey is liquid, so it doesn't really have a shape. It's just kind of like a liquid, right?
Just moves around.
Yeah, I mean, it's shaped like the container that it's in. So
maybe they mean shape down to the molecular level, right?
Do you think it's all bullshit, Travis? Like,
yes.
It's all bullshit, right? All the wine snobs and the whiskey drink. I mean, like, sure, there's probably some whiskeys that are better, some other whiskeys, but like, that really depends on like your taste buds anyway, right?
Well, I think there is. There's absolutely processes in place to make an alcohol better than other alcohols. Like, there's bottom of the barrel vodka that's not quite as good as like a mid-grade vodka. Now, granted, when you start getting into those insanely high priced vodkas, that makes no sense because it can't get that good. But whiskeys all have to do with like aging. So
and
if you
listening
age
to Metallica,
a whiskey, it gets better.
Right? If you listen to some Metallica, your whiskey's going to taste better, right?
I think it's just leave it sit out longer. Like, that's typically how whiskeys get better, is they age them.
Like vinyl records, like the vinyl snobs, they're full of shit, right?
Yeah, they like the pops and the hisses. They say it sounds better, but really, can it sound better than digital?
Yeah, and I mean, it's fun. Like, I got a record player, and we've bought some vinyl records because it's kind of fun to, you know, have some and play them up in the kitchen while you're making dinner or something. It's fun, but I mean, like, I don't listen to it and say, oh, this sounds superior to the one I play on Spotify. No, it sounds fine.
They do say that, obviously, just like any sound system, that there are turntables that will get the most out of vinyl. But that can be said for, you know, Bluetoothing your fucking iPhone to a certain set of speakers. Like, obviously, it all has to depend on the output. Like, so.
But I think that people just make it up. I think that people that hear different things and all that. There's probably some merit to it. And like you said, the pops and the hisses and stuff, people like that. It's nostalgic or whatever. But I think some people just bullshit so that they could be part of the fucking club, Travis.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely what it is. It's like somebody says, hey, this is great. And then it like creates like that hipster movement. And everybody's like, I'm jumping on that bandwagon. That sounds real good. I want to be that guy.
Travis, when The Hateful Eight came out, they had a whole big thing about how you could go see The Hateful Eight in its original format and blah, blah, blah. And they gave you like a big program and you had to pay extra to see it in this special theater and all this shit. And they had like a whole big release and the movie came out earlier than that. And I bought into it. I was like, oh, my God, well, I got to go see this movie in this special format. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be an experience. And I mean, like, other than them giving you a program for you to flip through, it's a fucking movie. It looked fine. It looked fine. And I mean, you know, like, but I mean, I'm seeing it on a giant goddamn screen. There's a bunch of big fucking mountains. You filmed pretty shit. It's going to look pretty no matter what screen you see it on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it on Blu-ray and I thought it looked great.
Yeah, it looks fine on Blu-ray. It looks good. But, I mean, you see it in a regular theater, you see it in a big goddamn theater. The only difference I noticed in an IMAX theater is it's too loud. It's too loud.
You don't like the noise in an IMAX?
No, oh, I mean, it's fine. It's fun. But like, is it really that great? I mean, the screen's a little bit bigger. Who gives a shit? Sit closer.
If you're in a true IMAX, it does make a difference. Because I had seen... I saw Godzilla in like just like a, you know, regular IMAX or whatever, like that they would have anywhere. And Godzilla was great. And then I saw it at home and I was like, oh, this, you know, this is not as good as I thought.
But your eyes are the same size.
I saw Sucker Punch in a true IMAX theater. And I'll tell you what, man, I almost threw up a couple of times because you couldn't look anywhere but at the movie, right? So, like, you were enveloped in the movie. Like, there was a preview for, I don't know if it was Fast 4 or Fast 5 in front of that movie, whenever the timeline matches up. And when Vin Diesel and Paul Walker drove that car out of the train off the bridge and they jumped out of the car at the same time, man, I got butterflies in my stomach. I felt like I actually felt that.
Did you feel a tugging in your nuts?
Yeah, like in the nuts and in the belly and the chest. It was like, ooh, I just feel like I was on a roller coaster there for a second. But
did
that's
you
because
you
had
gonna,
no
did
choice.
Did you think they weren't going to make it, Travis? Did you think
well, I mean, obviously they made it. They probably had already announced the sequel, even though that movie hadn't come out yet. But I do agree with you. I do feel like that there are people who would just say, hey, this is really good. You know, they did a Mythbusters on vodkas and they had like some really high end vodkas and some really low end vodkas and some mid vodkas. And all of the people who taste tested it chose like the second to the lowest priced vodka.
Like Laura watches these guys on the YouTubes that do a lot of taste test stuff, and they're pretty popular, and they do stuff with celebrities now. I guess they've hit a level of success that they can get celebrities on their show.
That's exciting.
They had like a Kobe beef taste test with Kobe Bryant, where they had like a taco on one plate that was just like regular shitty hamburger, and then a taco on another plate that's Kobe beef that's like $500 a pound. And they were trying them, and they were saying, each time, I think they were saying, I think that the shitty one tastes better. Like, and I think they said that they knew the difference because, you know, the other one tasted different than what they may be accustomed to.
Right.
But they just kept, and it's probably just what you're used to, right?
I think for the most part.
And you just adapt to what's there. And I think that if someone were to offer you a taco that costs $500 or a taco that costs $3, you'd take the $500 one just so that like you could try it and like impress people.
Well, yeah. Well, there was a handful of years ago where there was like some restaurant in New York City, and it made like news because they were offering like a, God, I can't even remember the actual dollar amount, so forgive me for butchering this, but it was like a $1,500 piece of pizza or something. So it was like all this. It was like Kobe beef, and it was like these super rare mushrooms, and then they like put gold flakes on it and shit too. And it was like $1,500 for a slice of this pizza.
Just to be an asshole. Like, there's no reason to eat gold.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do it.
No, none whatsoever.
It's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can say you did, and that you're a fucking big shot.
Well, and there's a lot of people with a lot of money out there that got to do something.
Maybe if you go buy whiskey that listens to Metallica, like, people will think that you're cool, or like that you're a true fan. You can wear your Metallica t-shirt, and when people stop you, say, yeah, man, I've been listening to them since 81. I bought their whiskey.
Now I'm drinking their music. I've been listening to it for 3 decades. Now I'm drinking it.
And then people say, wow, that guy, I admire that guy. He could be part of my fucking club.
Yeah, he really loves Metallica.
See, Travis, that's the problem that we've been having all this time. We're not exclusive enough, Travis.
Yeah.
We're too available. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like people want what they can't have, right?
Right. Like we try too hard to include people when we really should just be dickheads, and then people will want us. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense, Travis?
We need to figure out the next time something pops up, right? Some kind of a controversy that hasn't really taken hold yet. We need to figure out how we can be the big and rich to cut the symbol out of a piece of clothing.
Travis, we need to stop trying to be part of the club, and we need to just be the club.
Create the club. We are the club. You want to be part of us? You'll fall in line.
Yeah. Do shit to get in our club.
Yeah, you do the work. We don't have to.
Right. We are the goddamn club, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, how do we start a club?
We need to work on this. Like I said, we need to take charge. We need to take hold. We need to be the next controversy. We need to be the next indifferent radio show. We need people to want to be our friends. So we'll brainstorm.
All right. As of right now, everyone's kicked out of the club, Travis.
Okay.
And we'll start initiating people a little bit at a time.
Yeah, like we got to like beat them in.
Yeah, you got to get beat in or jumped in, right? Is it jumped in?
Is it jumped in or beat in? It's been so long since I heard that term. It's probably jumped in.
I don't know. I don't know, Travis. Pretty excited. My iPod died, Travis.
Just now?
I don't know. It turned off. It's going to make ending the show difficult.
I hope it didn't die forever.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have what you'd say is like a pick of the week, something you want the people to know about, Travis?
Travis's pick of the week would have been Ozark Season 2, but I still have two episodes to go, so I don't want to recommend anything I haven't finished. Although
you can recommend like the first couple episodes, right?
Yeah, I guess I could. Yeah, I could recommend the first 8 episodes, but since I'm not done, that's not going to be my official pick. Ozark Season 2 is obviously amazing. My official pick of the week, I guess, until maybe Ozark will be my pick next week, but my official pick of the week this week is Power of Grayskull, the definitive history of the Masters of the Universe. It's a documentary now on Netflix chronicling the rise and fall of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. While I will not agree with the definitive take on the history, since they could have dropped about an hour and a half more stuff in there from the Canon Films documentary and the Toys That Made Us series, it was still quite good and a really cool look behind the scenes of how that show and how that brand was created.
Was He-Man toys before it was a cartoon, and like they made the cartoon to sell the toys?
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. He-Man toys were created off the backbone of like Star Wars were huge, and it was taking money away from Mattel. So Mattel's like, we got to figure something out. And they were like, oh, can we do like a barbarian thing? And they're like, could we do like a military thing? It's like, no. We're going to do like a fantasy epic kind of barbarian deal. And they put a bunch of concept art out. They made a handful of toys. They had the toys. They started selling well. They're like, how can we sell more toys? And then they created the cartoon so they could make more toys.
Travis, something crazy happened today. I was putting together the intros and breaks and stuff for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked a song. You know this song, Travis. This is a song that everybody knows, right?
Okay.
Travis, I picked this song to be the song that we go out to.
Valley of the Shadow of Death. I take a look at my mind and realize it's sudden death.
And like 20 minutes after I picked this song, Travis, to end the show to, I got a text message from my wife. And it says, Mike, what is the 90s house party? And I laughed because I realized that, like, I entered me and her in like a ticket giveaway sweepstakes thing to go to see Vanilla Ice, Naughty by Nature, Coolio, Tone Loc, Montel Jordan, Rob Bass, All for One, and Young MC.
Motherfucker, this is our hip hop cruise.
It's the hip hop cruise, Travis, but it's coming to me. It's in St. Louis. Travis,
did you win tickets?
Put the music together, and then 20 minutes later, we won tickets, and Laura texted me about it. Travis, I willed it into being.
Motherfucker.
With nothing but my thoughts, Travis.
You know how angry I'd be if Kid and Play was going to be at that thing?
No Kid and Play, Travis. I'd be mad, too. I wouldn't go because Kid and Play canceled on us. Were we going to have Kid or Play? I don't remember.
We're getting Play.
Was it Play?
I thought we were getting Kid and Play.
It's the light skinned guy with the tall hair. Is that Kid?
Oh yeah, Kid.
Yeah, we were gonna get Kid and he bailed on us last minute.
So then we bailed on the rest of their fucking guests.
Yeah,
hip hop cruise.
And then they were like, "Well, you can still have Blackstreet." And I was like, "No,
want a Kid and Play, you sons of bitches."
Well, Blackstreet would have been cool too.
Yeah, it probably would have been. We probably should have just did it.
I acted like a petulant child, Travis.
No diggity, right?
No diggity, no doubt, my friend.
Mike, do you have a pick,
Travis,
of the week?
My pick of the week is I'm going to the 90s house party. I'm gonna
That's
see
a quality pick.
Ninja Rap, Travis. Remember Ninja Rap?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see it. Excited.
Jealous.
So that's it, guys. Thanks for the people in chat. It was fun. We'll do it again next week, right, Travis? We're going to do it next week. Hey, Spooky Month is coming soon, right? Spooky Month? That's exciting, right? Okay. Guns out, funds out. Bye. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light. Situation they got me facing, I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the state, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things is going, I don't know. After minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
For listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at wfodshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. Email us Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Give us a call when we're live or when we're not live. The phone over there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, Brian Kranz. If you'd like to contribute, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thank you. And goodbye.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.